if pursued by a serious seeker, would bring human beings to a sort of supernatural, sacred peace.
Now, you say that a lot of Buddhists would say it's kind of pointless to write a biography of the Buddha because it's not about his life, it's about his teachings. So why did you want to write a biography of Buddha?
Well, first of all, I think he's wonderful. I've always thought he's wonderful. And I think we've got a huge amount to learn from him. But it's not quite true what I said about the Buddhists being unconcerned about the Buddha's spiritual journey, his story, because he always claimed that his was an autobiographical philosophy. He always told his disciples that he would never ask them to do anything that he hadn't done himself. And so there are some aspects of the Buddha's life that have always been very important to Buddhists, and those I've emphasized in my own little biography. Those moments are when he left home and decided to pursue the spiritual life and gave up worldly life. His long struggle to find enlightenment, going from one teacher to another until he decided he would depend upon himself. Then the process of enlightenment, when he actually experienced a reality that he called nirvana and became a Buddha, a man who had woken up to the full potential of humanity, and his decision to teach. That was always very important to the Buddha. And finally, his death. But the people of India, when they spoke about the Buddha's life, were concerned not with writing the sort of biography that we write today, where we try to find out exactly what happened when. They were interested always in the meaning of this life, and they told the Buddha's life story to help other people, help other Buddhists gain their own enlightenment. By watching the way the Buddha had done it, you would learn how you yourself could become enlightened too.
Here's a stupid question. Was there anything resembling Buddhism before the Buddha?
There were a number of developments in India that the Buddha used, certainly. And he himself always claimed, like any sage of antiquity, that his teaching was not original. It's only in our own day that we put such great importance on being absolutely original. He said that in the very earliest days, human beings had known that this was the best way to live. He had rediscovered what he called an ancient path.
Do all the different sects of Buddhism generally agree that Siddhartha Gautama was the founder of Buddhism, or is there some controversy over that?
No, I think all of them revere the Buddha and see him as crucial. But it's a bit different from the way we are in, say, Christianity. If it was discovered that, for example, the Buddha had never existed, it wouldn't make much difference to the Buddhist religion, because the important thing is the method and not the personality. And the method has been found to work. Whereas if Christians found that Jesus hadn't existed, that really would be trouble. So we must see him in that way.
If you're just joining us, my guest is religion scholar Karen Armstrong, and her new book is called Buddha, and it's a biography of the Buddha. What kind of family was the Buddha born into?
Well, again, we don't quite know that for certain. But he must have belonged to one of the upper echelons of society. He had a comfortable home. He had cousins. He had a wife. And when he left home at 29, his wife had just given birth to a little boy. And so he left his wife and his son. He left his mother and father, who were getting on in years, to embark on the holy life.
Now, that's a very extreme thing to do at the age of 29, to leave your wife and newborn son and hit the road to try to have a more spiritual life. What kind of problem was he having with domestic life?
Well, he said that when he looked around his father's home, it felt sort of cramped and crowded and dusty, he said. It seemed to be filled with things that pulled at his heart, that made him cling to the things of this world. And he, like many, many other people in India at this time, were beginning to feel that this world was something that had to be transcended. People were feeling a great despair, a spiritual vacuum. And all over North India, around the Ganges Plain, young men and even a few women were leaving their families in this way and